Okay, my beard won't get that long. It just stops right about here. It just kind of curls up. Wish I had one like that. You have what you have. This is my wife, Joy, here in the front row. I'm a Jewish kid from New York City, and anything that you hear from me that sounds Southern is fake. I'm putting it on. If I was talking like I really talked, I'd talk like this. And I would say things like, did you eat yet? And stuff like that. But I have lived in the South. Joy and I lived in the Deep South. We lived in the only part of the South where you had to go north to get to the Deep South. We lived in South Florida for 30 years. And this is where he's planted us. We've been married next month. Well, the month after October, we'll be married 39 years. We're thinking of sticking it out. Some of you guys are married longer than us, right? Yeah. And we have 6 children. And you're not going to beat us on this. We have 21 grandchildren. Anybody have any more than that?
My mom has 19 grandchildren, 40 great-grandchildren.
Yeah, but we didn't get to the great-grandchildren yet. Give us a little time. None of our, we're not ready for our grandchildren to start repopulating yet. The oldest are 15. So, and we're not even sure we're ready for them to start driving yet. But I like the fact that there's only a few of you and you're pressing on. In fact, at some point today we're going to be talking about being an overcomer. Joy and I have been involved in a number of fellowships where the pastor and his family was most of the congregation. We've seen that before, and it's not necessarily an indication that God is not in your midst. And by your worship and your heart, I can feel that you sincerely have a desire to walk on with the Lord. And that's what really matters. So, let's continue reading in chapter 1. Blessed be the God, that's verse 3, and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved for you in heaven. Isn't it exciting to know that there's actually something that's not going to fade away?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. What do you have that, other than that, that won't fade away? You work for a job. We were talking to Joy's brother on the phone, and he was telling us about her other brother who'd worked for a company for 20 years and got injured. And they said, see ya. Have a nice day. There's nothing in this world that you can count on. There's nothing at all. So it's nice to know that we have something that's not going to fade away. It's reserved for us in heaven, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now, for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials. Anybody having any trials or tests? Joy and I had a real peaceful life. Our second child was born with cerebral palsy, and they gave him a 5% chance to live. They said he'd probably be a vegetable if he survived. Of course, we call him Broccoli. That's our nickname for him, Broccoli. He's the only one of the 6 kids that graduated 4 years of college. So, but there was adversity in that, and there was tribulation. Anybody here have tribulation? Do you know what the Greek word for tribulation is? It's a really interesting word. I'm not a Baptist, so I don't have a problem with alcohol. I'm a Jewish kid. Jewish believers, we have no understanding of the alcohol problem. I don't mean the abuse of alcohol. I mean just the general alcohol problem. Well, the word for tribulation in the Greek New Testament is the same word that they use for squeezing grapes. It's pressure. So God talks about Israel as being an olive tree or a vineyard, primarily, and either of those things you must squeeze if you really want to get the essence. God's into the essence. So if you're having trials, That's probably because you're not in heaven. How many of you know this is not heaven? This is not where God intends for you to reside. When the children of Israel left Egypt, the Passover, which is the most beautiful Old Testament picture of the sacrifice, the cross, they killed the lamb, the innocent lamb, and they took the blood and they put it on the top and on both sides, and as it dripped down, it made a cross. And then they went out and they came to the Red Sea, and according to a New Testament writer, they were baptized or immersed in the Red Sea. And they passed over and they looked back, and Moses said, this is why we get baptized, by the way. If you've not been baptized, I hope you all have, but if you haven't, it's not because it's a church religious rite. It's because it's a picture. And the Old Testament picture, Moses standing on the seashore, looking back, and he says to the Israelites, he says, the Egyptians that you see today, you're never going to see them again. When you're born again and you're baptized in water, your sinful nature is buried. I'm not saying you're not going to sin again, but now you sin by choice. Isn't that exciting? Before you sinned by nature, and now you begin to sin by choice. So, I don't know how I got into that. I have been known to travel. Anyway, we have this imperishable and undefiled inheritance that's not going to fade away. We're protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last times. How many of you are saved? No, you're not. You're born again, but you're not saved. It's important. I'm not a word splitter, but I am a word crafter. And we'll read on and we'll find out that I'm not making it up. In this you greatly rejoice, even though for now, for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you've not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls.
That's right.
Okay? Born again's now.
Yeah.
Salvation is something. Another place, Peter, I believe, says, work out your salvation in fear and trembling. Work it out. Go through it. See it develop in your life. When you're saved from something, it's in the past. Okay? Like if your house catches on fire and you get saved, the fireman pulls you out by your hair, you get saved from the fire. The fire's over. That terrible experience is over. Well, our terrible experience is not over yet. At least mine's not. Even on the best of best days, when I get up, I go, you know, brush my teeth, look in the mirror, it's still me. I'm still there. Most of my battles are not with the outside. Most of my battles are with me. Most of my battles are with me. You young guys, I feel so sorry for you. You guys born again, you believe? Yeah, okay. I don't really feel sorry for you. I'm actually praying for you. Okay? Let me tell you why I'm praying for you. Jesus said in Matthew 24, he was talking about all the terrible things that were going to happen, right? In the last times. And in Matthew 21, he said that when all these things happened, that generation wouldn't pass away until they were all over. And what he said in Matthew 24 was, Jerusalem will be trampled down by the Gentiles till the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. So the two of those have been put together. We know that when the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled, that the Lord will come back during that generation. Anybody know when the time of the Gentiles was fulfilled, or do you believe it's over? I can tell you exactly when it happened. It happened June 8th of 1967. That's when the Israeli army accidentally found themselves at the Western Wall in Jerusalem. And I say accidentally because they were ordered specifically not to take Jerusalem. But they did. In the time of the Gentiles, ended. Jerusalem will never be trampled down or under the control of the Gentiles again. And that's why you need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because it's all linked with the return of the king. So that's the time we live in, gentlemen. Unless I die prematurely, I expect to see the return of the king. There are a lot of other reasons. I know people have been predicting the return of the Lord forever. And that's okay, because God does not live in time as we do. And he can transcend without it being a problem. God doesn't have a problem with time. I have a problem with time. I drive a big yellow tool truck through these mountains. Every day I'm looking at my watch. I have a problem with time. Yeah, I'm an undercover agent for the king. Secret agent. I sell tools and I offer eternal life. And quite often I wind up at stops for way longer than I should, because the Lord opens an opportunity and we start talking about the things of the kingdom, which is what really matters to me. My day job, if you will, only provides me the ability to travel around and preach the word. It only provides me the ability to be hospitable to people in the world so that I can share my faith, so that I can work out my salvation, which I'm going to receive at the end. And that's what you're all supposed to be doing. You see, the church is not a place where people are supposed to get saved. I saw a church, what was that, going over County Mountain? What's that school? They got Victory Baptist, I guess. Anyway, they had a sign up there. It said, the church is a hospital for sinners. Do you believe that? I don't believe that. I believe that the cross is a hospital for sinners. The church is a gymnasium for Christians. That's, you're supposed to come here and work out. You're supposed to get your faith built up. You're supposed to crucify the old man. God does not like unsubmitted flesh. You could be a Christian for, like Joy and I, 38 years. Some of you probably believed longer than we do. And you can have areas in your life that are unsubmitted, that God has been trying to get at, that you're not willing to yield. And that's where you're supposed to come here. You're supposed to rub against each other. You're supposed to, you know, righteous man falls seven times. He gets up eight. You're supposed to keep pressing on, pressing on, pressing on, dealing with your life. Dealing with your fears. Dealing with your past. I don't mean dealing with it necessarily going back. Oh, let's talk. Why? What kind of problems did you have with your daddy? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about get off. Breaking free. This is wild. Breaking free from what held you in the past.
That's right.
We cannot live our lives. This is a dangerous device you have here. I've never used it. Is that still on?
No.
No? What did I do to it? Selah. I'm back on. How exciting. Sorry about that. I probably pulled on it too hard. Oh. Technical difficulties. Is that okay? I'll try to behave myself and stand still. Went out again, huh? How about that? Can you hear me?
Yep.
Joy, how many pieces of equipment have I destroyed in churches? It's hard to keep me still, I'm sorry. I don't remember what we were talking about. So we're just going to go ahead and continue on. Please turn to Romans 10. Verses 1 through 4. So we're working out our salvation here, and we're trying to learn and deal with our unsubmitted flesh and try to be formed into the image of the Son. Does that make sense?
Okay. Okay. Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God is for them. For them is for their salvation. Paul, in chapters 9, 10, and 11, is talking about the Jewish people.
Amen.
You know, when I first got saved, people were really nervous about me. You know, he's Jewish. We wanted to do things like keep the Passover, eat matzo ball soup, things like that. They were like, oh, no, that's legalism. You can't do that. Only Jewish people. Italians, you want to go out for a spaghetti, it's fine. A Jew wants to eat Jewish food, you think he's becoming a legalist. Okay? Well, Paul's talking about the Jews here. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is for their salvation, for the Jews. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. And I would like to say, as a Jewish believer, that my heart's desire and prayer for the Gentile churches is that they would stay walking with the Lord. Because a lot of Gentile believers have a zeal for God, but it's not according to knowledge. It's not according to knowledge. Most Christians know their comfort scriptures, but they don't really know the Word of God. How many of you read the Old Testament besides Psalms and Proverbs? Wow. I'm impressed. Do you know what the New Testament is? Any of you watch the John Wayne movies? John Wayne fans here? Okay, so here, we'll picture John Wayne. He's in a foxhole. This is a John Wayne World War II movie. John Wayne's in a foxhole, and he's like the guy in charge, of course. And he calls the corporal, and the corporal brings him the map. And he lays out the map. Okay? Well, the map's the Old Testament. The map is the Word of God. And John Wayne pulls out the New Testament, which is an acetate overlay. And he lays it over the Old Testament map. The Old Testament shows the typography of the kingdom of God. It shows God's intention and history. It shows the messianic line all the way through. God's intent for you always. The New Testament overlays that with an understanding of the cross of Christ, amen, of eternal salvation, of things that were hidden but were always there, that were always God's intention but were not yet revealed.
Amen.
Okay? So my prayer for the church in the perilous times that are coming, see, I got to tell them everything, Joy. They may not want me back next week. I don't believe in the pre-tribulation rapture. I think that's an end-time error and deception, which will lead into what Paul says in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. Two things, he says, will precede the return of the king. The first one is the great apostasy, or the great falling away. You can read it for yourself, 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. The second thing he says is the abomination of desolation, standing in the holy place, proclaiming himself as God. Which means the earliest that the Messiah is going to return is after the Antichrist is not only revealed, but he's proclaimed himself as God. Now, I only say that because if I'm right, if I'm wrong, you could all laugh at me on the way up. Woohoo, we're going up, it's the rapture. He was wrong. But if I'm right, you need to have your hearts prepared for the difficulty that's going to come upon the earth. And that difficulty is not going to come upon the earth because God's not capable of getting his people out of here. It's because there are people that still can come to Christ. And it won't be over until every beating heart that could get saved does get saved. And then God will finally pour out his wrath upon the earth and make it anew. So my heart is for the church, that it would wake up and it would begin to dig deep roots, become founded on the rock, and have a good Bible understanding, good personal experience with the living God, so that we could be prepared, because we live in a fearful, fallen place. Not knowing, verse 3 of Romans 10, not knowing about God's righteousness. Righteousness, hey you guys, righteousness is not a complicated word. Just think rightness. as opposed to wrongness. And think about it in relationship with God. You're either right with God or you're wrong with God. Okay? Being ignorant of the rightness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. My people, the Jews, became ignorant of God's righteousness and began to try to establish a right relationship through keeping laws. Laws that God gave them, rules and regulations that God gave them, but they eliminated God from them and only kept the rules and regulations. Hasn't the church done that? If you were not a Christian and you looked at Christianity, you might immediately be taken by what you couldn't do, what you shouldn't do, not by what you could and should do, not by a relationship, but rather with some sort of regulations. For Christ is the end of the law. Does that say that? Is that what it says there? No, that's not what it says. Keep reading it. Look at it. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness' sake. That is very different. Now, I'm going to give you a very brief Hebrew lesson, and if you don't hate me talking, I'll give you more Hebrew lessons next week. The word for law, translated in the New Testament as law, does not mean law. The Hebrew word is Torah. Torah is the five books of Moses as a big picture. But more importantly than that, Torah means instruction and direction. God's instruction and direction for you has not ended. The portion of God's instruction and direction, or Torah, that applied for righteousness' sake, is ended in Christ. By that I mean, we don't have to have another sacrifice. We don't have to kill animals. We don't have to bring certain things so that it will be acceptable and approved by God. That part is done. But guess what? Murder is still illegal. That's part of the law. Adultery is still illegal. Part of the law. Okay? Christians like to preach tithing. Tithing's in the Old Testament. It's not in the New Testament. It's part of the law. Make up your mind. We cannot cherry pick the scripture. We have to have a full understanding of what the Bible actually teaches us. And then we'll be solid and we'll be able to face what comes. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness' sake. By the way, there's another Hebrew word that translates law, mitzvot, commandments. And part of the law are, you shouldn't do this, you should do this. But the whole body of God's instructions, God forbid we would reject God's instruction on how we should live our lives. God forbid. Please turn to Revelation 12. How many of you like Revelation? Boy, a lot of scary creatures in there. The name of Revelation is not Revelations. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ, which he gave to his servant John. And what that book is about, it's the only book where Jesus, the Messiah, is actually portrayed fully as who he is. He's the living God. He's the conqueror. He's the one that has made a way, qualified to open the seal, open the book, to redeem us. Well, in this book, there's a lot of time jumping because God doesn't have problems with time. And so I'm not going to try to explain this whole book to you. And the main reason is because I don't understand this whole book. And the main reason for that is because it's still sealed up. And anybody who tells you it's been revealed has no humility. God has not revealed all this stuff yet. That's why we don't understand it. That's why, you know, the section in there where you're reading along, there's a place and it says, and there was silence in heaven for the space of about 30 minutes. You know what that is? That's where everybody's throwing their old doctrines away. They're tearing up their charts going, oh, no, I didn't know it was like that. It's going to be a real surprise. But anyway, in chapter 12, there's an interesting verse here that I want to read. Starting in verse 10 and verse 11. Now, I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of the brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them before God, our God, day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even unto death. There are three things that are necessary to be being an overcomer, and they're all listed right here.
Amen.
And if you take anything away today, take this. The first thing that you need to be an overcomer is the blood of the Lamb applied to your account. Because if you are ignorant of the righteousness of God, and many people in the world see that they're not righteous, and so they try to be righteous. They try it by good works, or they try it by some, you know, we did this, sitting in on the floor, making funny noises, and tying your legs up in a pretzel, and breathing incense and stuff like that. That didn't work. We did some occult things, and those didn't work. We did lots of pharmaceutical things, and they definitely did not work. Being ignorant of the righteousness of God, people will continually try to establish some form of rightness for themselves. Nobody wants to feel cut off. And guess what? Paul tells us in chapter 1 of the book of Romans that everybody knows there's a God. The whole creation testifies that to the glory of God, so men are without excuse. So anybody who tells you they don't believe is just in denial. They do believe, and they're afraid. We have to overcome by the blood of the Lamb. That begins our journey. In John, the third chapter, everybody likes to quote John 3:16. I like to quote John 14 and 15, 3:14 and 15. You must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. Well, we know that. But you must be born again to even see the kingdom of God. What you're experiencing, those other people think you're a loony. Because to them, what you consider so normal and natural, they can't even see it. You have to have the blood applied to your life. The second thing that we need to overcome the world is the word of our testimony. And that is so maligned and so ignored in the kingdom of God. Testimonies occur here on Sunday morning quite often, and that's nice. But the world's not in here. The world's out there. So I drive around in my tool truck, and I look a little coarse. And maybe I am a little coarse, but my master will judge me. And I go into garages, because that's my trade. And I sell tools to guys who are coarse. And they don't offend me. But in the midst of that, God, the Holy Spirit, opens the door. And I am given an opportunity to share. And I don't say, brother, do you know Jesus? Here's a tract. Here, read this book. I say things. In fact, let me tell you how the door opens. How you doing today, Jerry? Well, I'll tell you, we had a pretty rough time, but the Lord delivered us out of it. The word of my testimony. Really? The Lord delivered you out of it. There is nobody on my route that doesn't know I don't believe. I have 400 customers. The guys at the Harley-Davidson shop in Waynesville will get on the truck and they'll start using words that start with F and S and other D's and things like that. And that's okay. That doesn't bother them. But one of them will say GD, and they'll all rebuke each other. It's kind of humorous that they have their own heathen level of what's acceptable. You can say this, you can say, don't say that. But they all know. So many Christians, their testimony is external. I do not put a bumper sticker on my car that says, Jesus loves you, because when I cut somebody off, I don't want them cussing Jesus. And I will cut somebody off. because I'm from New York. You're supposed to do that. It's the way we drive. I don't want my Christianity to be external. I want it to come from deep within. And through that, I had one of my auto techs ask me for marriage counsel. Will you talk to me and my wife? Okay. Is she really your wife? Well, no. Okay, we can talk about it. I can talk about it. I ain't scared. Because what you see here is what you see out there. Overcome by the word of your testimony. Talk about what God is actually doing in your life. Don't give them a religious spiel. Don't give them a religious story. Sorry, spiel is story. Sometimes I revert back, I get too Jewish. That's European Jewish. Don't give them a religious story. Give them what's... If you were in court and they called you up to testify, you could not talk about the Jesus that Paul preaches. That would be hearsay, and they would throw it out. You can only talk about your own personal experience, what you've seen, what you've tasted, what you've done.
Amen.
And you can start testifying the day that you're born again. We had a friend named Steve Levine, another Jewish kid. He got saved. He was an electrician on the job. This is in Florida. And he loved to read his Bible, and he loved to talk about Jesus. And people would say, oh, well, tell me about that. Well, I don't know anything about that. Ask Paul. Paul was a guy that led him to the Lord. I don't know about this. I don't know about that. All I know is Jesus saved me, and it was real. I was like that, and I'm not like that anymore. You have a word of a testimony from day one.
Amen.
And when you testify, you strengthen yourself. You know why? Because when you actually speak about things that have happened, that increases your faith.
Amen.
If you read Luke 17, we're not going there. Luke 17, Jesus tells the disciples that they should do something that they didn't really want to do. Forgive someone. And being very generous, one of the disciples says, well, how many times should I forgive him? Seven times? Seven times 70. That's 490. That's once every minute and a half on the average day that you're awake. And so, they said, increase our faith. Do you know how to get your faith increased? Read Luke 17. He tells them a story about some guy out there working in the field, and when he comes in, the master doesn't say, oh, sit down, have something to eat. He says, get me something to eat. And when I'm done, then wash up. And when you're done with that, then you can get something to eat. This is in response to increase our faith. Okay? And the punchline is these. He says, when you've done everything that you're commanded, say we're only unprofitable servants. We've just done what we were told to do. You want your faith increased? Obey God.
Amen.
That's true. You know it's true. If your dad or your mom or somebody that you had a good relationship with said, I say that because not everyone has, said to you, little Johnny, if you do this, I'm going to do that. And when you did it, they did what they said.
That's right.
And you quickly learn to associate obedience with reward in that sense. Well, believe me when I tell you, when God tells you to do something and says he's going to respond, he does.
Yes.
And every time you obey him,
Jesus,
your faith increases.
Amen.
That's how we increase our faith.
Amen.
Testify about it, because it's looking at the story of your life. And by the way, that doesn't mean he has to do it the way you think he's going to do it. Because God doesn't usually do things the way you think he's going to do it. He happens to have his own agenda. Says on his shirt, God. Look on your shirt. If it says God on your shirt, we'll talk. If not, he'll do it his way. Okay? Blood of the Lamb, word of their testimony, not loving their lives, even unto the death. Now, I think that there are more people that are willing to die for Jesus than there are that are willing to live for Jesus. So I really believe that that scripture does pertain to those that give the ultimate sacrifice. But I would say to you that one of the biggest problems that we have in the body of Christ is that we have our own lifestyle.
Amen.
And let me tell you about your lifestyle. It's not compatible with his. And he's not going to change. Not going to change for you. But going back to the externals and the internals, a lot of the things that you think are your lifestyle that he doesn't like, those are not what he's interested in. He's interested in the internals of your life that are not compatible with him. And you have to be willing to release those things. God is not a meanie that he just withholds things from you just for the heck of it. He sees that the external actions that create internal destruction. Let's talk about premarital sex, for example. You think that that's just because he's a prude?
No.
By the time most young people are ready to marry, the women no longer trust men because they've been abused in multiple failed relationships, and the men think that women are toys. That's not really conducive for long-term relationships. God knows what he's doing. As believers, your life is not your own. You were bought with a price. When you got up from the cross, you were not your own. I'm going to tell one more story. It's a biblical story, and then we'll close. Every one of the apostles, at some point, if you're reading in a New American Standard, which is what I tend to preach out of, uses the word to describe themselves that they are a bond servant. Jesus is called a bond servant. Does anybody know what a bond servant is? Okay, you're going to learn. In the Old Testament, immediately following the Ten Commandments, the first commandment it talks about is a Hebrew slave, a Hebrew who becomes a slave. Well, according to God's plan, you can only be a slave for a number of years, and then the year of Jubilee. Actually, slavery was a 7-year episode. On the 7th year, you were set free. The whole land reverted after 50 years.
That's right.
So, here you are, for whatever reason, your life goes in a certain way, and you become indentured, a slave. And you live in this slavery, and you fulfill your obligations, and you're set free. Weren't you set free? Haven't you people been set free? I was set free from being a drug-infested hippie. I know I still look a little like that, but I'm not. I was set free. God totally gave me another life, set me free. I am not a slave to sin. Now that you're a free person, you could just walk off and do your own thing, which, by the way, is what most Christians do. Church is an obligation that they fulfill once a week or twice a week.
Yeah.
They give a couple of dollars. Do you know what the average tithe in America is? There are statistics, and I know that this crosses a lot of denominations, some of which you might not consider denominations. The average money that people give to church is 1.8%. 1.7%, I'm sorry. And then if you take out the third world countries, it goes down. Pretty scary.
That's right.
That means less than 2 cents on a dollar is what the typical person gives. Now, that person who's set free turns around and goes, you know what? I love my master. And I love my family. I don't really want to be free. And he goes back to his master. This is bond slavery. You can find it in Exodus. Exodus, hold on, sorry, this is so not on my notes. Actually, I don't really have notes, I just had a couple of scriptures today. It's not in Exodus, that's why it's in Numbers. I'll look it up for you afterwards, okay? But it's right after the Ten Commandments, which means it should be Numbers 21. No, sorry. This person who's set free and decides he does not want to be free goes back and they take an awl and they put his ear up against a wooden post and they drive a hole in his ear and they hang a ring in it. And he becomes a bond slave. That is a love slave, someone who has chosen not to use their freedom. Every Christian should be a bond slave.
That's right.
But God will not mess with your free will. And it has to be a decision of the heart.
Amen.
A decision that says, you know what? I don't really want to live my life. It's nice that I'm not going to hell, but I don't want to live my own life. I don't want to run my own affairs. God help us to become bond servants of the living God.
Amen.
We can overcome by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
We can overcome by the word of our testimony. We have to not love our lives even unto the death. God does not like unsubmitted flesh.
Amen.
It's not acceptable to Him. So we as believers, young or old, need to daily take our hearts and lay them on the altar and say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done.
Amen.
And that's the heart of God's kingdom. And if we'll begin to do that, then we'll be able to find what He wants us to do on a daily basis. Lord, help us to do that. I think we'll stop right there. Lord God, I pray that You would speak clearly to our hearts about having a servant heart to You, about being victorious and overcoming, about being... I wish we could all be secret agents for You. Not secret in the sense that nobody knows about it, but secret that we could get into places that maybe we couldn't otherwise, and always be instant and ready and prepared to speak Your word, to say what You would say and to do what You would do at any given time. I pray this for this body, for my family, for the church at large, and I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.